Good morning, I'm Charu Chitanidas presenting Hare Krishna morning program. Studio clock, it's a minute past 8 o'clock. As per Western calendar and Vaishnava calendar, today is 16th September 2006, Saturday, Navami Tithi, Krishna Paksha, Vyati, Patha Yoga and Adra Nakshatra. Let us begin this wonderful morning with Krishna consciousness. Who is Krishna, Supreme Personality Godhead? We accept Krishna as the Supreme Being. Everything about Krishna attracts the pure soul. Krishna's beauty, his smile, his compassion, his humor, his speech, his grace, his kindness, his unlimited qualities. God is one. Krishna is the same God worshipped in the Bible, in the Quran, and any bona fide scripture. We learn, for example, that God is good and God is great, but not much more. By contrast, the Vedic literature, ancient scripture dating from over 5,000 years describe God is great. We learn what he looks like, where he lives, what activities he performs. The goal of life is to love God. And the more we know about him, the more we will be inclined to love him. And the most effective way of associating with God is call him with love and devotion. More we call him without any offense, it will cleanse our heart and it will develop a relationship with him. Let us chant this morning his holy name, we call Mahamantra. My request, if you never chanted this Mahamantra, please try today. It is very powerful and it is extremely sweet.
Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Hare Krishna Hare Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. Dear friends, this radio program designed to help us go back to Godhead. Krishna Consciousness Movement designed to help all intellectual people to understand the truth of current problems. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and His representative bestow their causeless mercy upon all living entities who are looking for eternal bliss. Let us begin today's journey to the path of absolute truth. Today's topic is in part of the art of reliving. Recorded at Mumbai, this morning we will continue Bhagavad Gita drama, chapter 11. Definitely we will hear some devotional songs. Hope you all enjoy this program, which is an essence of Krishna consciousness bliss.
Scrape in and find out what is the content within it. Many times it might be something very obnoxious. We have the example of Mother Teresa and Mahatma Gandhi. As far as their physical container is concerned, it was not very beautiful. But why are they glorified? They are glorified for their content within. And therefore it is said that empty gunny bags, they can never stand upright. When a gunny bag is empty, it has to be leveled to the ground. Only when it is having some content in it, then you see the gunny bag standing upright. So therefore, one should have a proper content within. And this beautiful example is given that one time four instructions were given to a pencil. When the pencil was created, the first instruction, that your real value lies within you. The second instruction, only when that within comes without can you make any impact on something. And the third instruction, that for that within to come without, the process will be very painful. And the fourth instruction was that only when you are in the hands of a proper writer can you make any impact. So over here you see in a pencil, what is the real value of the pencil? It's within the pencil, the lead. And only when that lead comes out can that pencil make any impact. And for that lead to come out, the process is sharpening, very painful. And only when it is in the hands of a proper writer can it make any impact. Similarly in our life, our real value lies within us. And only when that within comes without can we make some impact. When we hear about these values given to us by the higher authority, then you know our real impact can be seen. And only when we are in the hands of a proper writer, proper guides, then only can we have any impact. So many times we see that when these things are not given much importance, the value within, then this is what is seen. That people are used and objects are loved. Because everyone is seen just as a container. So because everyone is just seen as a container, so therefore they are seen as objects. And therefore many times it's very difficult to deal with the content of other person. And therefore we see that in this human civilization, sometimes the laws which are enforced upon we human beings are on such gross level. Like, I was told that in Chicago, there is this one train station, Milwaukee. And there is a toilet there, which is always so crowded that the rail authorities were finding it so difficult how to deal with this problem. There is so much of traffic inside. Because Chicago is a windy city, so cold also. So the railway superintendent had one idea. He said that tomorrow onwards, all the traffic will be managed inside the toilet. You will see, there will be no problem, no traffic jams inside the toilet. And actually, the other authorities, they saw that the problem was solved and they tried to find out what did he do. So what he did, above each urinal, he pasted, "You are now on national TV." And there was a fake camera behind. So everyone started to come out very quickly. So many times, you know, because we are on such gross level, so the laws which are enforced upon us are also on such gross level in order to rectify us. And therefore it is said, amongst all the species, it is only the human species which are destroying its own species systematically. And therefore, when we are talking of building solid set of values, we have to evaluate before we judge. And therefore, these are some of the things which many times are kind of a misconception, that we have to be bold but not a bully. We have to have humility but not stupidity. We should be confident but not conceited, tender but not weak, strong but not arrogant, firm but not stubborn, cool but not cold, content but not complacent, detached but not indifferent, wise but not otherwise. And now we come to our sixth step, building protective shields. And in this, we have to build protective shields from within and from without. And as far as within is concerned, there is this example given, the Great Wall of China. The structure of this wall is 1400 miles long. It is so big, huge in size. And it was built 3 centuries before Christ. And massive amounts of labor, energy and money was employed to make this huge wall. But it is said that after building this huge wall, which the Chinese felt that they will be safe now from the enemies, immediately after that, 3 times they were attacked. And not even once the wall was damaged. Without damaging that huge wall, the Chinese were attacked 3 times. So how did that take place? The enemy had to simply bribe the guard and walk in without damaging the wall. So they were thinking that the wall is protecting them, but the enemy was within, not outside. So similarly, we might have great walls of China around us, thinking that I am well protected in all of these protective shields, but we may not realize that the enemy is lying within us. And another example is given, it's called the termite effect, that a wood or a wooden pillar might be seen standing upright, but if from within the termites have eaten out everything of that wood, it's just a matter of a small blow and the entire structure will crumble down. And therefore we have to build protective shields from within first, and then from without, how to do that. And therefore it is said that living in this modernistic civilization, media, television and the hedonistic lifestyle, these are the things we are actually swimming and drowning in a world of media which is actually controlling us and actually destroying us from without now. And therefore it is said that tobacco companies spends $500,000 every hour of every day promoting and advertising cigarettes. In fact, there was one owner of a cigarette company, and he looked at one 15-year-old boy smoking cigarette, and he is expressing his surprise. He is saying, "Alas, what a calamitous situation is this. A 15-year-old boy is smoking a cigarette." And everyone was surprised. Who is saying this? He's the owner of a cigarette company and he's saying. And then later on he said, "A 15-year-old is smoking cigarette and it's not our brand." Why didn't I die before seeing that? So their target is the teenagers, the youth. Because once they are hooked up to their brand, then they will go on. And many times the advertisements are so catchy and attractive, made for each other. We are just made for each other, I and the cancer. We are just made for each other. Live life king size and die dog size then. Like in America, they had this rule that every cigarette commercial on TV has to have the statutory warning somewhere on bold letters coming on the screen. Now, you see that whenever they advertise cigarettes, you know, you'll always have these beautiful looking people, how good it is, how cool it is, and all of these things they say. So smart looking people, cowboy people, you know, with a wonderful style and flair, they smoke and they show how you can also be like that if you smoke this brand. So one particular TV commercial, now the condition was you had to show the statutory warning, cigarette smoking is injurious to health. In fact, now they have to write that statutory warning on each cigarette stick, because people, they know what is the warning. But they would take out the cigarette, put the pack inside the pocket. But then, when they have the stick in their hand and they are smoking and reading statutory warning, cigarette smoking is injurious to health. So some good sense might dawn upon them. In spite of that, people were still addicted. So this TV commercial which showed a beautiful, smart-looking, handsome cowboy, he comes and he takes one puff. And now, in that particular commercial, they had to show the statutory warning. So just for a few seconds, on the screen comes a statutory warning. Cigarette smoking is injurious to health. And again, this handsome-looking guy comes. Again, he takes a puff and says, "Who cares?" So what was the last message? We showed, we fulfilled the condition, we showed the statutory warning, but the last message was, who cares? So therefore, it is said that the media is hitting us like anything from all sides. The Reader Digest article said, a weekday edition of a newspaper probably contains as much information as the average 17th century person would have come across in his entire lifetime. And therefore, if a one-page newspaper advertisement can sell a bottle of shampoo, don't you think a full-length movie or magazine can sell a lifetime? And therefore, here was something very interesting. Here you see a boy looking at the TV screen, looking at the moon. And what is his question? What is the moon supposed to advertise, Papa? So nowadays, they don't even know that moon is something which is natural. It's a natural beauty. Asking questions like this, or asking questions, who invented Mount Everest? These kind of questions. So how people are brainwashed by the media, how much they are living in a world which has been programmed for them that they should behave in a certain way. One might then wonder that this world is so big, there are so many people here, so how should I begin? But where was I to start, as you read over here? The world is so vast, I shall start with the country I know best, which is my own. But my country is so very large, I'd better start with my own town. But my town too is so large, I'd best start with my street. Know my home, know my family. Never mind, I shall start with myself. And therefore, in conclusion, we can say that let us become murderers and killers of our hackneyed, stereotyped, materialistic, nightmarish, phantasmagorical, hedonistic lifestyle which we are leading. and let us resurrect again and be born again, relive again to the life of virtue, chastity, purity and devotion. And that can be accomplished only when we purify our heart from within. And the process is that by just chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is like an anti-death pill by which we can relive. Like one time there was a death procession going, and in that death procession, you know, the dead person was on the stretcher, and we know in India how people are caring and they are calling out Ram Naam Satya Hai. So there was a father and a son who was observing this death procession. So the son is asking to the father, Papa, what is this going on? The father is telling, Beta, this is a death procession going on, and they are chanting the names of Ram. So the son is asking, why that person is not chanting, who is, you know, sleeping on the stretcher? So the father said, because he is dead. Now just see the innocent logic of the child. The child reversed the logic and asked the father, so if this person who is dead is not chanting the names of Ram, then I can deduce that whoever is not chanting the names of Ram is dead. And the father realized he was not chanting. So the father said, let's join the procession. Ram Naam Satya Hai, he also started chanting. So therefore it is said that before that time comes when we have to lie on that stretcher, when we will be unable to chant the names of the Supreme Lord, better when we are alive, try to relive this materialistic life and chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, you are listening Hare Krishna morning program. Every Saturday 8 till 9 a.m. I present this program behalf of Hare Krishna temple. Our temple address is 197 Dang Street, Albert Park, contact 9699-5122. So we have time, I think enough time we have to change ourselves. So let us hear a devotional song and then we proceed for the next schedule.
Sundar kundal nayan vishala माला या छवि की बलहारी या छवि की बलहारी जय माधव वलन मुरारी जय माधव वलन
Suburbs to the Bay. This is your station, your voice, 88.9 Win FM.
Hare Krishna, you are listening? Hare Krishna morning program. The relationship between the Lord Krishna and the gopis are very intimate, very sweet. I'd like to share with you an incident in the Vrindavan. The hearts of the gopis are like transparent pools of love, and Sri Krishna is the black swan of those pools. Krishna's ill treatment of the gopis was like the flapping of that swan's wing, a flapping that caused a cavalcade of ripples upon those pools' surface. As ripples shroud reflection upon a body of water, the gopis' love was similarly obscured. Consequently, their reflection, they could no longer see the wonderful reflection upon its surface. After he was humbled by the gopis' question, Krishna's attitude changed and his words of love consoled his troubled sweethearts. Seeing him so kindly disposed, the Vrajadevis' minds were pacified and their pools-like heart became calm once again. Now peering into their hearts' watery depths, the gopis saw the glory of their love inconceivably enhanced. How amazing! How could their love, which was without limit, increase? How had the secrets of their hearts, known only to them, been revealed to others? As they gazed upon the mirror-like surface of their love, the darlings of Braja beheld their only lover, seeing the twinkle in his eyes, the smile dancing upon his lips. The gopis understood he had tricked them. In their overconfident cleverness, the gopis had planned to expose his ungratefulness. They had conspired to entangle him in a net of well-laid riddles, only to be caught themselves. He was the ingenious hunter, they the unwitting victim, and they had fallen into his trap of love once again. Let us listen one more beautiful song, which is the loving relation between gopis and the Krishna. Hare Krishna. Of course, you are listening Hare Krishna morning program. Now the time for Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 11. It's a long one. You must have a patience to hear this. Krishna's instruction. It is very, very important to know chapter 11.
About to hear the most important conversation that has ever taken place. It is a timeless conversation between the Supreme Lord, Krishna, and his devotee, Arjuna. Arjuna is a constant companion of Krishna, who perpetually travels with the Lord throughout the material world, playing a key role in an endless drama. That drama is for our sake, yours and mine. In it, Arjuna plays a warrior whose duty is to fight a battle to establish righteousness in the world. Just before the battle begins, Arjuna surveys the opposing troops, and seeing many of his own relatives and friends within their ranks, he becomes bewildered. Krishna, who is playing the role of Arjuna's chariot driver, convinces him to do his duty by revealing to him all the truths of the universe. Truths about the soul, karma, rebirth, liberation, and devotion. Since we're all faced with life's dilemmas and have our own battle to fight, Krishna's words are pertinent to us all. This drama is performed again and again, not only on this earth, but on other planets and other universes as well. In each performance, there are slight variations in the dialogue, but the theme remains unchanged. Listen now as the troops prepare for battle on the plains of Kurukshetra. Chapter 11, The Universal Form.
O Krishna, you have kindly instructed me on the most confidential spiritual subjects. Thus my illusion has now been dispelled. O lotus-eyed one, I have heard from you in detail about the appearance and disappearance of every living entity, and I have realized your inexhaustible glories. O Great One, though I see you here in my chariot, you said that you pervade the entire creation. I accept that. Still, I wish to see how you have entered into this cosmic manifestation. I want to see what I've heard about. You already know that I desire to see this form. This desire has been created by you. Otherwise, I was satisfied seeing your two-armed form. Although I am not qualified, you have all mystic powers and can make me eligible to see this form. My dear Arjuna, I am one, but now behold all the vibhutis and opulences of which I spoke. Hundreds and thousands of divine and multicolored forms. See the different manifestations of Adityas, Vasus, Rudras, and all other demigods. Behold the many wonderful things which no one has ever seen before. Whatever you wish to see, behold at once in this body of mine. This universal form can show you whatever you desire to see, now or in the future. Everything is here completely in one place. But you cannot see me with your loving eyes, which you are now using to see my Madhurya form. Therefore, I will give you suitable eyes to see the form I will now manifest before you. Behold my mystic opulence, Arjuna. Sanjaya speaks. O King, after speaking to Arjuna, the Supreme Lord displayed his universal form. Arjuna saw in that form unlimited mouths, unlimited eyes, and unlimited wonderful visions. The form was decorated with many celestial ornaments and bore many upraised divine weapons. He wore celestial garlands and garments, and many divine scents were smeared over his body. It was wondrous, brilliant, and unlimited. If hundreds and thousands of suns were to rise at once into the sky, their effulgence might resemble the effulgence of the Supreme Person in that universal form. At that time, Arjuna could see in that form the unlimited expansions of the universe situated in one place, although divided into many thousands. Then, bewildered and astonished, his hair standing on end, Arjuna bowed his head to offer obeisances, and with folded hands began to pray to the Supreme Lord. O Lord, I see all the demigods in your body. I see Brahma sitting on the lotus flower, as well as Lord Shiva and all the sages and divine serpents. I see in your body many, many arms, mouths, and eyes expanded everywhere without limit. I see in you no end, no middle, and no beginning. Your form is difficult to see because of its glaring effulgence like the blazing fire of the sun. I see this glowing form everywhere, adorned with crowns, clubs, discs, lotus flowers, and conch shells. You are the ultimate resting place of all this universe. You are inexhaustible, and you are the oldest. You are the maintainer of eternal religion. You are without origin, middle, or end. Your glory is unlimited. You have numberless arms, and the sun and moon are your eyes. I see you with flames coming forth from your mouth, burning this entire universe. Although you are one, you are spread throughout the sky. Oh, great one, seeing this wondrous and terrible form, all the planetary systems are perturbed. The hosts of demigods are surrendering before you and entering into you. Some of them are fearfully offering prayers with folded hands, pahi, pahi, praying for protection, while the Maharishis and Siddhas are crying, Shanti, Shanti, let there be peace, let there be peace. All of the Rudras, Adityas, Vasus, Satyas, Vishvadevas, the two Ashvinis, the Maruts, Pitris, Gandharvas, Yakshas, Asuras and Siddhas are all beholding you in wonder. O mighty armed one, all the planets with their demigods are disturbed at seeing your great form with its many faces, eyes, arms, and terrible teeth. And as they are afraid, so am I. O Vishnu, seeing you with your many radiant colors touching the sky, your gaping mouths, and your great glowing eyes, my mind is perturbed by fear. O Lord of Lords, refuge of the world, please be gracious to me. I cannot keep my balance seeing your blazing death-like faces and awful teeth. In all directions I am bewildered. All the sons of Dhritarashtra, along with their allied kings, and Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and our chief soldiers also, are all rushing into your fearful mouths. Some I see trapped with their heads smashed between your teeth. As the many waves of the river flow into the ocean, so do all these great warriors enter blazing into your mouths as moths dash to destruction in a blazing fire. O Vishnu, I see you devouring all people from all sides with your flaming mouths, licking their blood with great anger. Covering all the universe with your effulgence, you are manifest with terrible scorching rays. O Lord of Lords, so fierce a form, please tell me who you are. I offer my obeisances unto you. You are the primal Lord. I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is. Krishna speaks. Time I am, the great destroyer of the world, and I have come to destroy all people. With the exception of you Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. Therefore arise, prepare to fight and win glory. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement, and you, O Sabyasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. So I order you to use all your skill and fight, but do not become proud, for I have already killed them. Drona, Bhishma, Jayadratha, Karna, and the other great warriors have already been destroyed by me. Their therefore kill them and do not be disturbed. Simply fight, and you will vanquish your enemies in battle. Sanjaya speaks. O King, after hearing these words from Keshava, the trembling Arjuna offered obeisances with folded hands again and again. He fearfully spoke to Krishna in a faltering voice. O Master of the senses, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. Although the perfected beings offer you their respectful homage, the demons are afraid and flee here and there. All this is rightly done. O Great One, you are the original Creator. Why then should they not offer their obeisances unto you? O Limitless One, God of Gods, refuge of the universe, you are the invincible source and cause of all causes beyond this material world. You are the original personality of Godhead, the ultimate sanctuary of this cosmic world. You are the knower of everything, and you are all that is knowable. You are the supreme refuge above the material modes. O limitless form, this whole cosmic manifestation is pervaded by you. You are the air, you are fire, you are water, and you are the moon. You are the first living creature, Brahma. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you 1,000 times, and again, and yet again. Obeisances to you from the front, from behind, and from all sides. O unbounded power, you are the master of limitless might. You are all-pervading, and you are everything. Thinking of you as my friend, I have rashly addressed you. O Krishna, you are only the son of Vasudeva, whereas I am the son of Pandu. Pandu was an emperor and a great fighter, whereas Vasudeva was only a minister. I addressed you, O Yadava, thinking that you can never become king. I thought, the Pandavas are royal, and still I was kind enough to consider you my friend. I behave like this out of affection, not because of your heritage. I thought this was my mercy to you. I did not know your glories. Please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times, joking as we relaxed on the same bed, or while sitting or eating together, sometimes alone and sometimes in front of others. Please excuse me for all my offenses. You are the Supreme Lord, to be worshipped by every living being. Therefore, I fall down on the ground to offer you my respects and ask your mercy. As a father tolerates the impudence of his son, or a friend tolerates the impertinence of a friend, or a wife tolerates the familiarity of her partner, please tolerate the wrongs I may have done you. After seeing this universal form, I have become happy, but at the same time my mind is disturbed with fear. Therefore, please be merciful to me. Alter your universal form and reveal again your dear form as the Supreme Person. O thousand-armed one, I wish to see you in your four-armed form, with helmeted head and with club, wheel, conch, and lotus flower in your hands. I wish to see you in that form, like the one seen by your father at the time of your birth. You are the Supreme Transcendental Actor, so please change your dress to another form. Krishna speaks. My dear Arjuna, I have gladly shown you this splendid majestic form. Glance upon this form for the last time. It is not magic. It is manifested by my internal energy. No one before you has ever seen this universal form of mine, since it cannot be seen as a result of any practice by one's own endeavor. Neither will this form be revealed by reading the Vedas or performing sacrifices. No one else is qualified to see it. This is such a rare opportunity. So why do you desire to see another form? My dear Lord, I accept what I saw, but I do not want to see the universal form now. Still, you are telling me to see it again and again. My limbs are pained and disturbed, and I was becoming unconscious. I will never ask you to show me this form again. Please forgive me. I wish to see that beautiful form from which nectar comes. Arjun, you have been perturbed and bewildered by seeing this horrible feature of mine. Now let it be finished. My devotee, be free again from all disturbances. With a peaceful mind, you can now see the form you desire. Sanjaya speaks. After Vasudeva spoke these words to Arjuna, he displayed his four-armed form and at last showed his own two-armed form. This encouraged Arjuna and banished his fear. When Arjuna saw Krishna in his original form, he said, O Janardhan, seeing this human-like form so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind, and I am restored to my original nature. My dear Arjuna, this form of mine you are now seeing is very difficult to behold. Even the demigods are aspiring to see this form which is so dear. The form you are now seeing cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas, nor by performing penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Anyone who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contamination of karma and jnana, who works for me and makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me.
Hare Krishna. Of course you are listening Hare Krishna morning program. Successfully we have ended the chapter 11. Next week definitely we will listen chapter 12. Looking at the studio clock, we got little more time. Let us listen a description of Shyama Sundara in Western tune, and Western devotees, they have seen the Shyama Sundara form of Sham differently. Wonderful recording. Listen carefully. Hari Bol. Looking at the studio clock, it's 9 o'clock. Next on this station would be very well known Saturday morning show called Fast Lane and Invincible. Hope you all had enjoyed today's Hare Krishna morning program. I'm Charu Chitana Das from Hare Krishna Temple. Please accept our humble request and invitation. Every day we are open, especially inviting you all for Saturday and Sunday's Melbourne famous Hare Krishna Free Feast. Find your place in Hare Krishna Temple. Our address is 197 Dank Street, Albert Park, contact 96995122. Don't hesitate to call me for any queries regarding today's program or by any means if we can assist you to progress towards Krishna consciousness. Wishing you and your family a very good weekend with spiritual progress. Looking forward to have your association again Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. Until then, Hare Krishna. Oh,